Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. And don't forget to use all those good resources that are there just for you, just to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, including my newsletter, including my blog. All of those things are right there for you to check out. Dawn Rivers Baker is my old friend, but your new friend. She is a very important person in your life, whether you know it or not. She's president and CEO of Wompreneur Publishing Incorporated. She's the editor of their flagship publication, The Micropreneur. The Micro Enterprise Journal. That's the name of the journal, folks. The Micro Enterprise Journal. And she's our friend. Dawn, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. I'm happy to be here.
Wompreneur and micro enterprise. I mean, those are two words that I'm having trouble with this morning, Dawn. What's going on?
Well, it's early, I guess.
What is wompreneur? Now, I thought I was a phrase coiner, but did you come up with that?
Yes, I did. I am.
Were you on some kind of drugs or something?
No. When I first started publishing, I was publishing under the name Womp and Mompreneur.
Oh, yeah.
And when I found out that Mompreneur was a trademark,
and they had you arrested until you changed it, right?
No, they were very nice about it.
But they did. They did point it out to you, though, right?
They did point it out to me, and I was horrified because I'm a writer, and I don't ever want to step on anybody's intellectual property.
You would never encroach
on
anybody, right?
So I racked my brains for a night and came up with Wompreneur, which I decided was going to stand for Work at Home Entrepreneur.
Right.
And there you have it. I made up a word.
I like that. I like the way you think. I like your mind. we're both a little twisted in that way. Okay. By the way, before we go any further, I think it's important that I point out that September is Be Kind to Editors and Writers Month. Did you
it
know
is.
That?
This is I our have month. To tell so every, my kids.
Everyone that we know, everyone that you and I know as editors and writers, everyone we know must be nice to us this month. And so I've decided I'm actually going to have a little sign made up, and I'm going to wear it around my neck. What do you think?
Because, that works for you, gets you a parking spot.
Most people don't know about this. And if we don't tell them, how will they be nice to us?
Absolutely. I'm with you.
Yeah, all right. I'll have two made, and I'll send one to you.
I have to make sure I let my kids know about this.
There you go. Well, I think you can forget about your kids. I have kids, too, and no amount of signage helps those guys. Hey, what's news? What's the news in your world and in the work that you do for entrepreneurs?
Well, I am busy covering microbusiness policy.
Tell us what microbusiness means.
A microbusiness, there's a bunch of different definitions for microbusinesses. Some folks call microbusinesses U.S. firms with fewer than 5 employees. Others, like the National Association for the Self-Employed, go as high as 10 employees. I even know one person who says a microbusiness is a business where everybody who works in the business could fit inside a van. What I like to say is a microbusiness is a firm that is so small that no one person working in the business does just one thing.
Right.
And I think that it's important.
Well, that's almost every small business.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Too many hats to wear, not enough heads to put them on.
90% of the businesses in the country are microbusinesses.
Oh, yeah.
And if you go as high as 10 employees, then you're up to 95% of the business.
If you ask any Chamber of Commerce executive what is the profile of their membership, they'll tell you that 90% of their members have 10 or less employees.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because the popular image of small businesses, and especially if you're thinking of politicians and their photo ops, they like to visit these small businesses that have 50 or 100 or 150 employees.
Right.
And that means that a lot of micro business owners feel really undeservedly, I think, unsuccessful if their businesses are not that big. They think that
no question about it. And you know, I'm really glad that you're talking with us about this today, Don, because you know, based on the numbers that you and I said, and I agree with you. I mean, our 90% numbers; those are just very rough estimates. That kind of, it may actually be more than that, for all we know. But the point is, when you and I both know, and as I've told my audience many times before, that all small businesses create over half of the U.S. economy, which makes Small Business USA the largest economy in the world. When you do the math the way I do it. Mm-hmm. And you realize that 90% of all those small businesses are little bitty companies, that makes us pretty darned important people. And one of the things that I know you do and I do every time I get a chance is to remind all those micropreneurs and small businesses out there, depending on what they call themselves, how they consider themselves, that they may think of themselves as a little bitty company, but they're very important because they aggregate with all these other millions of small businesses to make this economy the most incredible economy on the planet.
Absolutely. Microbusinesses just do so much for the economy, for society, for their communities. They are unbelievably important.
Well, you know, if you've read anything that Adam Smith wrote, the great author of The Wealth of Nations and basically the founder of modern economics, he talks about the invisible hand, and that's where business people working for their own self-interest in the economy, in their businesses, actually benefit society to a tremendous degree. And when you realize how many micropreneurs there are out there, that's a lot of invisible hands doing a lot of good things, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And of course, when you think about when we then go and look at and imagine the faces of those people, Don, the micropreneurs that you and I know, the small business owners you and I know, we know that a lot of what they do in the society, in their communities, are not invisible at all, are they?
No, and at the same time, I think that in many ways they're the unsung heroes. They're folks that they don't ask for much. They're the folks who. Because, you know, when you have small business owners, what you essentially have in a community is a whole pool of natural leaders. Mm-hmm. And that's just so amazingly important for any community.
Absolutely. Don, give us your website, please.
I'm at www.microenterprisejournal.com.
But you've had practice. Micro Enterprise Journal, folks, I can say it now. Microenterprisejournal.com. Don Rivers Baker is the founder and the editor and the chief cook and bottle washer at that outstanding publication. And she and I will be right back after these messages and after the Stones. 20 after, stay with us. It's not George Benson, ladies and gentlemen. That's the Drifters. That's the original version of that song. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Don Rivers Baker is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. And Don is the president and CEO of Wompreneur Publishing Incorporated, editor and publisher of the flagship publication, Micro Enterprise Journal. I got it all out there successfully
yes,
that time, Don.
Did. I'm impressed.
Now, tell us about your magazine.
The Micro Enterprise Journal covers policy, the economy, the marketplace, and small business research, specifically analyzed for micro businesses. I take a look at particularly what's going on in Capitol Hill and in the nation's economy, and I analyze that information as it's probably going to impact most of the nation's micro businesses, because I find that in most of the mainstream business press and even the small business press, a lot of what's written is targeted for larger small businesses.
Right.
And the fact is that policy doesn't impact micro businesses the same way it impacts larger small businesses, because micro businesses just have a different operational reality than larger small businesses.
A lot different.
And that, you know, that it's interesting because there's a certain amount of policy that comes out of Capitol Hill where the folks up there have a kind of attitude that, well, if it's going to be good for a business with 50 or 100 employees, then it's going to be good for a business with five
right.
employees.
And well, they also think that if it's good for a Fortune 500 company, it must be good for a mom and pop.
Well, I don't know if they think that or if they just don't think about them.
If they don't care. Well, a lot. No, the ones who think about it think that. Most of the others just don't care.
Yeah, I have to say, I mean, I think it's unfortunate because when it gets to be campaign time, you have everybody out there saying pretty much the same set of standard lines. Small businesses, the engine that drives our economy, blah, blah, blah. But when it comes down to it, there really is only about a handful of legislators that are really prepared to put their shoulders to the grindstone.
The ones who get it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you're right. The one that I hate is when they say, you know, we're going to help you get jobs. Like they actually knew how to create a job if their life depended on it. Yeah. So what's the issue that you see is the most in the forefront right now for micropreneurs?
Same as for everybody else, healthcare.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you like small business health plans, the association health plans?
You know, I like them, but I don't know that they're going to be. You know, the way that the healthcare issue is approached in this country, they're trying to tweak a system that's fundamentally broken.
Yeah.
And it's fundamentally broken because Americans have evidently decided that they want their healthcare subsidized. And they're using the insurance industry to do it. If you stop and think about it, insurance costs more the more you use it. That's why you keep your car in good condition and you drive safely so that your insurance premiums don't go up.
Right.
And you install fire alarms in your house and you install security systems in your house so your homeowner's insurance doesn't go up.
But we don't do similar corresponding things to our bodies.
Well, it's not even that. But if you do preventive care, but you use your insurance to pay for it,
right?
Then you're going to wind up being punished for the desirable behavior. It's nuts. I don't think that health insurance is the way to go. You know, I understand that people don't want the United States healthcare system to turn into a giant Medicaid system,
right?
But I think that The powers that be need to re-examine how we're doing this because, frankly, right now it's more cost-effective for me as a consumer to skip buying health insurance except for catastrophic care,
right.
And pay out of pocket.
Well, see, that's what the HSAs are all about. That's what health savings accounts are all about.
Yeah.
But see, the thing is there's no reason why you can't have HSAs with small business health plans. The whole thing about small business health plans, the association health plans, is to allow your micropreneurs, your little one- and two-person company, to join their Chamber of Commerce and buy their insurance through the Chamber of Commerce. And instead of buying it by themselves, they become part of a 1,000-person group or more.
And, you know, I think that that might help a little bit. But ultimately, if you look at the marketplace overall, in terms of holding costs down, there's really nothing in the market to hold those costs down. Because, once again, the more people use the insurance, the more those premiums
well,
are going to continue to go up.
And I hear you. And that's the nature of the industry.
Exactly.
And the nature of the actuarial table. But small business, the tiny business doesn't even have access to that. I mean, they're on top of all that. The prices they pay are on top of all that. We buy. Let me put it this way. Here's the simplest way I know to say it. Larger companies buy at wholesale. Individuals buy retail. We need to get it where all small businesses don't have to buy healthcare at retail.
Absolutely.
And that's the challenge. Hey, Donna, I need you to give us your website again, please.
Sure. It's www.microenterprisejournal.com.
Can we subscribe to your magazine there and your reports all there?
Absolutely.
All right. And I appreciate you being here today. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Jim.
Would you like to come back?
I'd love to come back.
Well, since you laughed at my jokes, I'm going to invite you back.
What a nice man.
Thanks, Don.
Take care.
Don Rivers Baker, ladies and gentlemen, one of the best friends a small business ever had. Quick break, right back with Ramon Ray. We're going to learn a little bit about technology when Ramon joins us. The show is brought to you by IBM, Administaff, and Aflac.
missing your face for losing all the energy of mine.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.